There's a focal point. There are four of them.
Really. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm just going to record the recording of a Business Jazz podcast. So, see, putting microphone on.
Good. And I'm going to
10:20 on Tuesday, the
5th. St. Nicholas.
Yesterday. Is St. Nicholas Day today?
It is in Holland. I think it's tomorrow in Belgium and Germany.
Do the Dutch have saints?
Yes.
I suddenly realised that the Reformation kind of disapproved of saints. And
but
Holland was very influenced by, Calvin.
Yeah. But you have to remember that the country is split by the rivers.
Oh, of course.
So north of the rivers is Protestant, south of the rivers is Catholic. So, yes. So in other words, people most definitely do have saints.
At the very least, there has been a leaking of sainthood from...
A leaking of sainthood. I like it. Right.
Yesterday's work.
Oh, who's that for?
This is me doing my best to help somebody. It began with Twitter, and then it turned out that there's another bigger conversation, which is I want to build a reputation as a drama therapist and a trainer and as a corporate story developer. And the two were in the conversation. All mixed up. Not actually all that helpful to have them all mixed up, since I can teach you Twitter would be a relatively defined... we could do that in an hour or 2 hours if you just try and do it in my company, and I can, you know, we'll do it easily with... We could even have a coffee while doing it. You know, how to build a brand as a drama therapist, a trainer and a corporate story developer, that would take a little longer.
And yet you managed to have it all down on 2 pages.
Well, she said at one point, and this was my instincts anyway, were that she was very visual. So I started to write some words. Then I gave that up and went to, here's a process. Build a product and a service, step one. Number two, market it. Number three... Prepare to deliver it. Deliver it. An invoice. I'm not saying it's the perfect process, but that seemed to me to get you from build a product.
I think the 5-step plan, when you read it out, is so deceptively simple. But of course, simple is never easy. But simple is never easy. But simple doesn't mean easy.
No, it's also simple means memorable, meaning it can be remembered, because my God, all these, you know, we have a 9-step process to... Are we into Business Jazz already, Roger?
We can be. Welcome to Business Jazz, the podcast about how to be genuinely attractive in business today. My name's Roger Overall.
And with a huge emphasis on genuine, I'm Paul O'Mahony. And we're sitting in the Republic of Work.
We're back at the Republic of Work. We haven't been here for months recording an episode of the podcast, because the podcast has been...
Transatlantic.
It's been transatlantic, transcontinental almost.
One success, one failure.
No, two successes. I think we have recovered the audio from our conversation.
Excellent. You were in Vancouver and I was in my kitchen. Okay. We've recovered after the technical...
We think... Well... Let me just in parentheses around this. We think we have an additional Canada episode. We certainly have a Canada episode with Jane Boyd. But
We're
back on Irish soil, and we are back in the Republic of Work. We're going to talk about an Irish business. We're going to talk about a local talk business or counter talk business.
Yeah, we decided this while walking down the street, talking about cream cakes.
Rather than start the podcast and look at each other and say, well, what are we going to talk about? Let's just be that jazz band and just start a tune and see where it goes. We actually agreed at least a theme for the tune.
Well, it came organically out of a conversation about a apparently completely different business, an opportunity that there is for your company Show and Tell to do something. It grew organically out of that.
It didn't
come out of the blue, like, let's talk cream cakes, and we suddenly end up deciding. So what's the conversation about, Roger? Can you be specific?
I want to talk about a company called Bite Size. Now, Bite Size are a cafe bakery, and they're based in... They're headquartered, I suppose you should say now. They are headquartered in
Middleton.
Hang on,
that makes it sound like a global corporation.
Well, they're not a global, but it does indicate that they have more than one location. So we have to distinguish between where their beating heart of the operation is now that these satellites are appearing. So Bite Size Cafe Bakery, they started life as a catering company and a bakery, and they opened their first cafe in Middleton about 3 years ago. It's been a roaring success.
Let me interrupt you for 1 minute.
Do.
What is the purpose of this conversation? Just so somebody listening to it doesn't think, oh, I got to listen to all this narrative. Just tell me a tiny bit anyway, so somebody listening can say, ah, I'm interested in where this is going.
That's a good point. Where this is going is what happens when you open up a new outlet or a new business in a new location, and how do you do that successfully, and what role, and this is the key thing, what role does your existing brand play in that? So Paul, you have a brilliant description of what a brand is. I'm not sure if you can remember what you once told me a brand was. If you can't, I'll help
you.
Oh,
it's easy. Brand is what people have in their head and will say behind your back.
Is exactly the phrase I've been telling people. I've been telling people, do you know what? My friend Paul O'Mahony has this brilliant description of what a brand is what people say about you behind your back. That's what a brand is. Because I get this question a lot. I thought my brand was my logo. No. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. So here you have a company that is setting up a new business, a new cafe. They opened a new cafe recently in a town which is, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 miles away from Middleton. It crosses the border between East Cork and West Cork. We have an East Cork company moving into a West Cork town. So how do you do that? How do you make that a success? Well, let me just tell you the story, because I was on the inside of this. Bite Size are a show and tell client.
So that's a disclaimer, or a, what do they call it, in the interests of full disclosure.
In the interests of full disclosure. I love this business. I love the people involved. I love everything about them. They're great people to deal with. So, look, you're not going to hear anything bad in the next 20 minutes.
Otherwise your client will fire you.
I don't know. Would they? Maybe they would. I don't think they're that kind of person, but I've nothing bad to say. I mean, and you'll find out why. So it started with, from my perspective, I'll tell it from my perspective and then you can hook into things that I'm saying. They said, look, we're opening this cafe and we're going to open in a place called Ballincollig. We've got a premises and we're going to kit out the premises. And then we're hoping to open towards the end of November. So November rolls around, and we haven't really done very much promotion because there were bits and pieces. Was it going to happen? Was it not? And then finally, it was going to happen. Then everything happens in a rush.
Typical.
So then we had the announcement, and I did a video, and the video was loads of people crying, loads of people sad.
Who's the twist who invented this idea?
I did.
I mean, it's meant to be a celebration. Now you have all these people crying.
Yes, because each and individual one, a location popped up, and it was not Ballincollig. And these were the people who were not going to get a bite-sized cafe. And they were sad. They were distraught. They were in tears. And then the video finishes showing somebody who is from Ballincollig, where Bite Size was going to open, and he's dancing along the beach as if he's just heard the best news in the world. And we put this out on Facebook, and gradually the news spread via Facebook and via social media that Bite Size was opening in Ballincollig. And this was good, because we wanted to drum up interest beforehand. There's nothing worse than opening a cafe and nobody coming along.
So no ad in the local paper?
No. Nothing like that. And what I saw was that suddenly people started reacting to the videos we were putting up and the announcements we were putting up. Oh, I should also say, I was gifted. Oh my goodness. Talk about a gift. Bite Size has in its cafe in Middleton comment cards. I kid you not, somebody had put in a comment card and written on it, and this is a genuine comment card with a name and a phone number and everything, please come to Ballincollig, we need you.
That was me. I was hired by a person in Ballincollig to go in and write that.
Well, even the fact that you were hired by somebody in Ballincollig to do that would be great. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the gift of having that? So the first announcement wasn't actually the video. The first announcement was me putting up this card and just having the text next to it.
On Instagram.
On Instagram and Facebook with the text underneath, oh, all right then. So the news leaked out, and what we saw was this huge engagement on Facebook. People were tagging people in Ballincollig saying, hey, these guys are coming. These are the guys I've been telling you about. These are the guys I'm always raving about. These guys are brilliant. The cafe in Middleton is fantastic, and now you're getting one. Hey, you have to go. Shall we go? We need to meet there. We've got our new watering hole. We've got our new coffee shop. We've got our new... this, and it just ballooned.
And these were all pensioners.
No, they weren't. Actually.
Excuse me, being frivolous.
No, you're not being frivolous. That's a very good question. Because, they weren't pensioners. But had they been pensioners, and had pensioners been the target audience for Bite Size, then that would have been fantastic. As it happened, they weren't all pensioners. There would have been some pensioners. But I could see from the demographic that these were exactly the kind of people that Bite Size likes to attract. One of their big key audiences is mums and young women with children and what have you. So it's a really key demographic for them. They love children to bits. Children get excited about Bite Size, and children say to their parents in Middleton, can we go to Bite Size?
Yeah.
So what was happening, what I'm saying here, is what was being revealed to me through suddenly this outpouring of enthusiasm, messages to and fro, that we weren't soliciting. People were just coming out saying, this is amazing. And they were building the hype. They were creating this excitement. How strong, if brand is what people say behind your back, how strong is the brand of this company that all these people went out of their way, in essence, to do show and tell's job for it? We gave them fun videos and nice things to hang their promotion on. But they ran with it.
Oh yeah, this is like Apple. Sorry, I don't want to blooming overuse a company, but this is like mad raving fans spreading the enthusiasm for something that doesn't yet exist.
Exactly.
For most people, and a lot of people would be picking up this enthusiasm, and they haven't a clue what this is about.
Well, there's the other thing, of course, because you might get a you might run into them, you might look at this and think, well, I've never heard of Bite Size.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Here are all these people. They clearly can't all be friends and family and employees of Bite Size who've been paid to write these things and tag people. So that lifts the legitimacy. And I was, it was really interesting for me to see this expression of enthusiasm, love almost for the brand.
About meanwhile back at the ranch in Middleton? The staff and the owner, were they similarly enthusiastic?
About the reception?
Yes.
I mean, well, it's a very good question. I never spoke to them about it. The only time I actually had conversation about comments on Facebook was when they had a negative comment. Somebody made a negative comment. And
well,
of course,
there's a lesson, says he, thinking, next time you're doing this.
What's the lesson?
Oh, well, the lesson
don't leave me
is,
hanging.
The lesson is, of course, you have to talk about the negatives. But the lesson is, hey, guys, they're dying for us to come.
Oh,
look,
yes.
What's coming today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was...
And
this
that
was...
would, you know, that would lead to some great pride, I would have thought.
Being creatives and passionate people about their business that they are, they were quite upset about the one negative comment, which was a nothing. I actually had to say to them, please don't let this cloud what is happening here, because you're getting hundreds and hundreds of people expressing this.
Here's something you might like to use. Something I learned in the 1980s, which is the worst thing is to get nothing. When people express negative stuff, it is very, very often that they have confidence that it is worthwhile saying things to you because you may do something about it. So negative comments are a sign of confidence in the company.
Yeah, that's a very, very good way of looking at it, actually. That is a very good way of looking at it. But I'm not going to...
No, I don't.
I'm not going to go into that. I'm not going to go into that. But so that was the first manifestation of this notion of brand, this notion of, okay, what are people saying behind your back? Okay, they're saying this behind your back, but in a very public place, and actually they're saying it on your forum. But nevertheless, as you say, people could have said nothing, but that didn't happen. So on the day the place opened, I went to Ballincollig and I was there, and I was thrilled because the place was packed from day one, and it has not been unpacked. That's not really, that is a word, but not in that context. It has been absolutely heaving ever since. Every time I've been there, it has been heaving, and more so than other cafes there. Now, this might be, because we're still in the early process of this, let's see what happens in a couple of weeks' time. Let's see what it's like on a wet Tuesday in January.
You realise, of course, that you, Roger Orwell, are going to get a reputation for being the launch specialist, and there are going to be people all over the world saying, my goodness, look what this guy achieved through doing what he did. He's just the kind of guy we need to get us, you know, in the first month.
I think
a full order book or a full house.
Absolutely. If you have an unbelievable reputation, have done all the hard work over several years to build up your brand to the point that it is absolutely bubbling and bursting like a volcano to get out, and people have this pent-up need to talk about you, yes, I'm quite happy to come in and kick the ball into the open goal for you. So that was the first thing. The second thing was, when I first walked into the new cafe in Ballincollig, it felt right. What do I mean by that? If you open one cafe and you say, this is our brand, this is our cafe and the paint on the walls and the way it feels, this is our brand, how do I know?
Or else, this is the way we do things.
Yes, this is the way we do. Well, how do I know? Because quite frankly, you've only got one cafe, mm-hmm. and you can change in a heartbeat the colour on the walls, the type of chairs, the food you serve, the aprons you wear, how you address people. Anything can be changed in a heartbeat. Now, if you have more than one location, that becomes a bit harder because the two locations need to feel connected and they need to feel the same. They both need to send out that same message. And that's why I say this place felt right. I walked in and I was immediately, yes, this is bite-sized. This is a bite-sized cafe. Everything here says to me this is a bite-sized cafe and it is completely aligned with cafe number one.
Now, you didn't decide on the colours.
No.
You didn't decide on the layout or the... everything. So who are you working with? Do they have a branding company that they have hired to do this, or is this the genius of the owner?
I'm going to put it down to the latter. They don't have, as far as I know, they have never hired a branding company. They had somebody come in who did their logo for them. Now, that's interesting. So the logo was done, and the owner of the company was never comfortable with the logo. And the interesting thing is, because it put too much emphasis on him, and he never felt comfortable with it, and the company that he was working with at the time said, no, you must, and it has to be about you, etc., etc. And that never sat well with him. And when you meet him, when you talk to him, it's not about him. It's about the experience that the customer, that he wants the customer to have. And that experience comes from great food, good coffee, and the people and everything. So he implants his DNA on it, but it's not just him. It's not, you're not buying into the him experience. You are buying into the him experience because he does put his DNA on it, but he doesn't want to be the focal point. He wants the experience to be the focal point. He wants bite size to be the focal point of your experience. But nevertheless, here is somebody who has a very clear vision in mind as to what his brand is, and clearly is able to communicate that to builders, interior decorators, painters, fit-out companies, people like me. Because here's the other thing, the phone call that you alluded to earlier on, the reason we're talking about Bite Size is somebody got in touch with Bite Size to say, well, who's doing your messaging? Because it's all so joined up. I could say, well, that's show and tell's doing. We're making sure this is joined up. In this particular case, it's not a hard job for this company because it's very clear what they want to do. It's very clear what they want to say. So because their brand is so clear and so strong, it makes it very easy for a company like show and tell to understand what the brand is and therefore how we communicate that and what we can do and what we can't do and how we should say things and what we shouldn't say, etc., etc.
See, it's so obvious, right? It's so obvious and it's so simple. And yet people complicate those, right? If you're opening a... Let's just say you're opening a chain of... We've referred to paint and all sorts of things in the past. Well, it's pretty obvious that all of the... that there's a great advantage in having all of the locations fit together in the same colours. So people realise that if they go into this place, that it's going to be, that it's connected with and the same standard of service, the same quality of layout, and even the same type of location. So, for example, if you're in the main street in Middleton, where do you want to be in Ballincollig? You don't want to be down some side street because that indicates that it's a kind of random, just so happens the rents are cheaper down here. You want to have, you know, always Mother Care, always located themselves close to Marks and Spencer's.
This is funny because the address in Middleton of the cafe is Main Street and the address in Ballincollig of the cafe is Main Street as well.
So when they open in Sligo...
There'd better be a Main Street or they could...
There is a Main Street in Sligo. But that, you see, this is so obvious, you know, that you need to have, or that there's a great advantage in having consistency. All the powerful brands which are influential in the world have this, and yet, I don't know about your experience, this which seems so obvious is not the starting point of all of the businesses I've had discussions with about their brand.
No. And same here. And in a way, what you're doing is if you can have that brand figured out, you're making life so much easier for you. Because this cafe in Ballincollig has been created in a relatively short space of time, but it all fits. And that's because they have a clear idea of what they're going after and they have a clear idea of what their brand is. Now imagine if they didn't. Then every single decision has to be debated. Are we going to have this colour? Are we going to have that colour? But because they have their brand, it's very clear. It's no, we've done the hard work of creating a branding document or whatever it is. Even if the branding document just exists inside the head of the owner at this particular point, that particular bit of hard work is done, and other companies have those documents. And all they need to do is open up the document and say, well, it's this colour. This is how we do it. This is how we speak. This is, you know, this chair does not fit. We want this kind of chair. Go and find that kind of chair. It makes it very simple.
If you are appealing to the same people in a different location, let's say, that you've got your niche, this is what we do really well, this is what we enjoy doing, this is what our best work can be done with. You have then all the kind of what are people saying behind their back in Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is to say, this is what we like, and let's say you're pleased with that. This is what we'd like people to say about us in Ballincollig. And that's your brand, right? It's not about putting, you know, all of those things are necessary because you have a coherent package. As you say, when you walk into Middleton, you feel this is right. This place makes sense. It's not higgledy-piggledy. It's not full of people, some of whom are polite to you and some of whom are curt and brisk and whatever. There's a style here. And that's, it's as simple as that. You just take what you know is what, you know, this is what we want people to be saying. This is what we're encouraging. This is what we wish they'd say about us. This is what ideally we would say about us if you said to us, what do you want other people to be saying about you? And you simply take that. I mean, in theory, you get something and you write it down. This becomes your equivalent of your brand book, brand Bible.
And I'll give you an example of where we... not clashed with the client at all, but we had long conversations about what were we going to put up on the walls. And they wanted to change the photographs in Middleton at the same time. So what were we going to put up on the walls in the cafes? We went round and round. We had documentary work. We had abstracts that would engage you and make you think, what's that? And then you'd look at it and it would actually be something from the baking process that I'd photographed, and you just needed to look at it a little bit, and nothing seemed to fit. And then actually I think the owner had this realization of, none of this is really what I want, and actually what we already have is what we're about. And they're basically family snapped. So you walk into the cafe in Ballincollig and you see photographs of the two children, the owner's children, on either side of the wall, and they are fantastic photographs. They're not perfect by any stretch.
So they're a talking point then, if they're not perfect.
Oh, they're just they're warm, they're welcome, they fit. And so I had to be schooled in that regard by the owner. And we had to, it was kind of a process. And once he obviously got to the point and said, these are the pictures, this is what I want, this is what I want to convey. It was, we couldn't for some reason figure it out together. But then he had a moment of clarity, and retrospectively, you know, if had we had the brand book written down, then clearly we would have said, yes, of course, those are the photographs we should have chosen. But because the brand exists in his head, it just took a little while for him to get to page 75, where it said, here are the photographs that you need.
Can I just pick a tiny point we might discuss another day, because it's just come to me as we were talking. And it's the opportunity you have usually to say to yourself, let's put up something that's perfect, or let's put up something that is clearly not perfect, but it's a talking point. What do you do when you see something perfect? The normal human reaction to something that's perfect. Now, I obviously have an answer in my head.
Tricky, because the phrase perfection evokes so many things. I saw a perfect video the other day that I would love everybody to see because it's so beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you what you did.
Go on.
You admired it.
I admired it. I did. Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
If you see something that's a talking point, I won't put a quiz to you because you can't read my brain. You identify with it. So you have a choice between, do we want people to admire what we've done, or do we want people to identify with what we've done? And clearly, if you said to somebody, what is the emotional connection you want? Well, I clearly want identification rather than admiration.
Mm.
Even though we spend our time, how can we improve that? I don't know if there's a conversation in that.
I think there is, because what I'm hearing anyway, and the way I'm interpreting it is, you can have clinical perfection that can be distant, or you can have this imperfection that allows hooks. I mean, you could say, you've either got a completely pristine, smooth surface that nothing sticks to, or you've got a jagged surface that snags and catches and holds on to things. That is a very interesting topic of conversation. That'll have to wait, though, until season 5. Because what we didn't say is that this is the season finale of season 4. We are finished for this season. Don't worry, we're not finished. We will return. We'll return in the new year with season 5. And we have our topic.
And by then, in season 5, we'll have forgotten that we have this topic, and it will crop up by accident at some stage in the future.
It will, maybe season 6 or 7. So
that's when we set out to our real business, Roger, which is shop outfitters. Hotel outfitters.
Oh, gosh, that'd be a disaster. Things would fall off walls and everything. Anyway...
Well, one of the most attractive films about a hotel ever in the history of TV is
Fawlty Towers.
Correct.
Yes.
an imperfect hotel.
It is an imperfect hotel. I'm not sure people would flock to stay there, but anyway. So, Paul, usual question. Where can people find out about you and connect with you and get in?
Businessjazz.net and showandtell.net.
Show and tell communications. I wish we could get show and tell. Oh, that would be brilliant. But
Well, all we have to do is spend the same amount of money as Teamwork PM spent to get teamwork.com.
Was that six,
no problem,
$680,000 or something? Anyway.
It was higher than that.
Was it? Goodness me. Well, the day that we can spend up north of $680,000 on a website, oh, sorry, on a URL,
a domain. You said 680,000. Yeah. Yes, that's the amount.
I think we'll be happy. So, yes, showandtellcommunications.net, businessjazz.net, get in touch, let us know what you think.
A big vote of thanks to Jane Boyd.
Always.
I want to thank her over there in Vancouver and to say how delighted I was to listen to the previous episode of Business Jazz, which was done by you and Jane in Vancouver while you were driving in the middle of the night.
It was the middle of the day.
Pardon?
Being pedantic, it was definitely Vancouver, but it was daytime.
Oh, good, I can hear the road safety authorities saying, thank goodness.
Anyway, thank you to Jane. Thank you for listening, for taking the time to listen to this podcast, for taking the time to spend time with us. And without you, well, just be two men yabbering into the ether.
All we'd be doing is producing stuff which our daughters might admire in 30 years' time.
So, see you in 2018. Well, we won't see you. You will be able to listen to us in 2018. This is the longest outro ever.
How are you going to get off stage?
I'm going to do the Monty Python thing. There is no punchline. It just stops.
Superb. Say superb.
Right, good.
Now, in our normal tradition, I'm getting out of your way.
Yes, I'm going to edit
this
now.
So you can keep the adrenaline going so that you don't collapse in a heap saying,
I'm going to
get out of your way. I'm going to check and see. Yes, I got that whole thing recorded. Excellent. On Vox Pro or whatever it's called. Record Pro.